My friends, this is December the 9th, Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Rust Izdar here. Shatter the Darkness. ShatterTheDarkness.net is the website to find out all the information. Thanks to, again, good friend Steve Quayle that has opened the door here. And don't forget, on Tuesday nights, it's at 7 p.m., SurviveTheThrive.net. But we're here Wednesday night. We're doing a series called Idols That Can't Hear, They Can't Speak, and They Can't Help You. Now, there are intellectual idols, systems that individuals can create, belief systems, like being an atheist, an agnostic, existentialist, nihilist, a deist. So there are intellectual idols that, though they may bring some kind of structure and a projection of what somebody believes, it is very, very, very clear that they never, never lead you to God. Now, we're also going to talk about spirits and gods and goddesses and so forth, but we're now dealing with not real entities, but substitutes, idols that can't speak, that can't hear, that can't help. Now, we talked about the universe. Can the universe hear you? Can the universe respond to you? And I'm going to say again that creation does speak. Creation does literally proclaim and pour forth speech, massive communication, that there is not only an intelligent designer, but there is such power, you'd have to sit there and think in terms of the depth of the universe. I mean, if you can go all the way down to scratch the particles, look at DNA, see the vast universe, calculate all the way back to what some call the Big Bang. It's vast. It's massive. But it's creation. And scientists, mathematicians, theoretical physicists are all scratching at creation. Now, we talked about that on Tuesday night. And is the universe God? And can it respond back to you? And this is where I see a lot of individuals now, again, because of the way we've been made, wanting something, crying out for something. It's like the person crying out in the middle of the dark alley when they're afraid, somebody hear me, somebody hear my voice. We want that to happen, but I'm going to tell you right now that God does hear the cry, God does listen, God does see, and we'll talk about the personal side of God here at the end of this 1 hour. Listen, this can be a great 1 hour, supernatural, in a providential 1 hour span. I believe that God in His providence, that is the good arrangement of God, the way God arranges things to draw us to Him, to make Himself known to us and bring us into relationship. Now, that is vital. That is absolutely vital to know that God is searching. God is looking. God is pursuing. Dear friends, no matter who you are, what your background is, one thing that I am confident of, experientially confident of, biblically confident of, God pursues the totality of humanity. That means you. That God desires you. Now, you can find this in the scriptures in Timothy, where it talks about how we're to pray for all humanity, and that this would please God our Savior, who wills or desires. Then it says, pas anthropas, all humanity, all mankind, to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That's about a relationship. So I'm telling you, by biblical revelation and by the experience of being a part of the mission of God all these years, whether sharing Christ in a biker heavy metal rock bar or on the streets or preaching in a church or in a conference, or it doesn't make any difference where we've been. The message is unprecedented. The message is unequaled. God is in it, and God is the pursuer. And I hope that whether listening live right now or in the archives, you understand that if you're hungering for real, I mean the answer to a spiritual search, It's going to come from the infinite God that originally created us and now comes to redeem us. He has taken care of all the barriers. Now, I'm saying this in the beginning because the topic deals with, well, the title for Wednesday night is When Science Gets God Under the Microscope. / subtitle, Slicing God. I don't know how it was for you, but back in the days of high school, I had to go to biology class. They were there teaming people up, telling us how we were going to dissect a frog. How we're going to cut into a frog and dissect a frog and see its internal organs and all that. I tell you what, there were girls and guys that did not want to do it. I couldn't help thinking back in those days what the frog thought. Poor frog. What did the frog do to deserve this? Why are we doing this to the frog? Now, that has also occurred with larger animals, and it's no question that it occurs with humans. I mean, even when doctors and future surgeons and everybody, they need a cadaver, a human body, to practice on. And to be taught where and what this artery is and where that liver is and where that spleen is and all the different things. And listen, it's an amazing fallen world that we are in, don't you think? It's a ragged edge. It's why there's pain. That's why there's harm. That's why there's, well, radical evil and a spiritual war that is now, well, showing itself more than ever in history. In the three tiers. One, supernaturalism everywhere. A spiritual supernaturalism, and it's real, but it's not all right. Two sides to the fence when it comes to all the spirituality out there. God is spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, pursues us and seeks us. And there is a spiritual encounter that God can give to anyone, and he seeks that not even one would miss this, that not even one would perish and miss the spiritual transformation that is called being saved, a relationship with God that involves the power of God, the removal of barriers, an instantaneous coming to know God, and the gift of indestructible immortality. Now, on the other side of that fence, there are hundreds of millions of spirits in an agenda to bring massive counterfeit, subterfuge, and spiritual deception. Now, we've been warned. And if you've been listening to anything that we've done on our site, anything we've been said and have said, and you realize that we're trying to, you know, both let everybody know that God has given a doorway and you can come. But there's a dark side that has brought a counterfeit door, and you can have real experiences, but they can be lethal in the end. Wrong. And so how do you test that? Has your spiritual experience brought you into direct fellowship with God where you can say that you know that you know that you know God? Do you have absolute assurance of not only the afterlife, but eternal life, my friend? Listen, that's what God wants to give to everyone. That's what the relationship that he brings about, an assurance that brings the ultimate reality. Now listen, tonight, when we deal with the issue of science, I don't know if you've ever read the little book. I've got a little book called Scientists Who Believe. And I'm talking about people from Nobel Prize winners to astrophysicists. I mean, any kind of scientist you can think of that believes in the living Christ, knows what salvation, relationship with God is, knows God on a personal basis, and shares through their perspective and learning. So whatever level of science or education or background you have in studying the world around you. As a matter of fact, I have a friend, well, an individual that I met that I would consider a friend. We've met once. He listens to the shows. I don't know if he'll listen to this one. He's out of the Columbus area, and he has been to CERN. He has worked there at where the superclutter is. He's got a lot of knowledge about it, and he's hoping that he and I can get together here soon and talk about the God particle. Because as we delve into tonight's show, we're going to talk about, can science get God under the microscope? And if they could, would they slice God and study God in that sense? Now, Friday night, we'll be doing an introduction to the God particle. And all of next week, including Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, we're going to just jump into this concept of the God particle and the existence of God, the substance of God, the nature of God, the being of God. And we're gonna get into some of the attributes. But tonight, by God's good arrangement, providence, maybe a scientist or someone who loves science. Now, I'm not a scientist, but I love reading. I've got a book over here to my right called The Soul Genome. Got another book over to my left, The God Particle. Got a book in front of me called He Is There and He Is Not Silent on metaphysics, combining philosophy and science and other aspects, theology. Francis A. Schaeffer, great, 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 great theologian. And Time Magazine called him back, I think, in the 80s. God's intellectual, God's evangelist for intellectuals. So if you ever get a chance, his number one book put out there, The God Who Is There. And check it out if you like to read. Listen, he has helped many come to understand and then come into a personal relationship with God through Christ. Well, my friends, that's where we are at, and we're not going to hold back because the Spirit of God compels us. There is, yes, a spiritual presence, a power, a compelling that drives, well, the person, the voice you hear right now. And I'm going to tell you that I know that compelling, that person. God is good and He loves us. I know God. God has known me before I came to Him. And what a relationship to know God, to know even in the end what's going to happen for sure. Well, let me give you a couple things that are going on before we get into the body of this message tonight. We were concerned about the show tonight because we've had Joyce from the Power Hour call. We were talking about maybe coming on that show again. Later tonight, for those in California and other places, I'll be on with Dr. Stan Monteith, 9 o'clock Pacific time. 9 o'clock Pacific time. I'll be on with Dr. Stan Monteith tonight, and he will be asking me bunches of questions about the book, The Black Awakening, The Rise of the Satanic Super Soldiers. Now, there are also some other shows coming up. You want to look at the ShatterTheDarkness.net site and the new newsletter that's out. There'll be another one coming up this weekend. And the Abyss series, one-hour MP3 series, hundreds of MP3s for you. By the way, I want you to know that if anybody does get a hold of the book, The Black Awakening, how do you do that? How do you find out information? Listen, we got information, and we've got MP3s, and we got little videos. Give you a lot of information about the book, The Black Awakening, 660-some pages. But we're giving, with the book, 70 hours of training. They're each about 1 hour long, MP3s. If you want to find out about the book, The Black Awakening, all the details, all of the offers, I mean, the training courses alone on the web cost around a couple hundred dollars. We're offering those free with the book, The Black Awakening. You can go to theblackawakening.com, www.theblackawakening.com. Tonight, we had power failures all day today. It's been extremely windy. At one point, it get really cold and begin to ice up. Another moment, begin to rain. So from about 4 o'clock till 4:40, the power went off and on, 4 or 5 times, completely went out, came back on at 10 till 6 p.m. tonight. And we're grateful that we've been able to get on with you. You know what? I love being on because I know so many of you who have written to me to tell me what these shows mean to you. And I'm extremely grateful for your kind words. I come here because I love mankind. I love people. I love you. I'm compelled by the love of God. And that's why I want to bring warning to the other side of the fence, no different than a father. I'm a father of a child. And I would give warning to my daughter about running out into the street. I would give warning to my daughter about anybody coming by in a car wanting to give her candy and try to give her a ride and take her away. I warn her. I warn her all her life. I'm a father that has watched my daughter and guarded my daughter. And when she became a teenager and 15, 14, 16, I watched all the guys, all the young guys, you know, and eventually they started coming over to the house. You better believe that as a father, I'm watching and I'm looking and I'm praying for my daughter, praying for the man of God that will come into her life. I love being a dad all these years. I loved it when she was 2 and 3 and she'd love to run up and me carry her on my shoulders. And, you know, that's what a dad does. A good dad's going to love his child, protect his child, enjoy, teach, share, do all kinds of things. But there's times that I needed to warn her and tell her about the dangers. That's part of what God is doing in biblical prophetic revelation. There is massive information about the sequence of satanic agenda, of the satanic evolution that is going on in the world around us. The New Age movement is a massive part of that. The under-the-carpet movement of Luciferians, those who directly are in contact with the darkest of powers, summoning the powers. Folks, you haven't realized. You haven't realized that a secret power of lawlessness operating, penetrating into politics, penetrating into the military, obviously penetrating into the media. There is a plot. There is a plan. God spoke about it 3,000 years ago in Psalm chapter 2. And he spoke a message of both invitation and warning to the leadership of the world, to the nations of the world, and to the people, the masses of people. And so I want to say to all the politicians, to all the military individuals, God has given a message. It has become grapha, written down, living words for you right now in these end of days. That Psalm 2 is a prophetic warning. It is also an evangelistic invitation. And I pray to God right now that politicians, those in government, those in the UN, the 200 nations of individuals that are meeting in Copenhagen, dealing with what on the surface sounds like, let's save the environment, but underneath is the agenda of globalism. Everything about Copenhagen ultimately is about globalism, and that it's about where they're going to scarf the money. Remember, I've said in some of the shows in the past on globalism, watch the money. Where's all the money going? In all of the world, money is traveling in one direction. Central banking. The central banking will be a big part of globalism and a very big part of the rise, well, I call him Homo Satanas, the Antichrist, and his coming to power. You think for a moment that the regime that he brings in will not need trillions of dollars to rule globally, to build the most powerful, supernaturally led, technologically advanced military system in human history. There is an agenda. Biblical revelation. This is what I'm going to say. Listen, this is what's vital. You know, whether Nostradamus and all the people that are seeking and looking at all the predictions. And you watch in less than a month around New Year's Eve, there's going to be talk shows. They're going to go over all the predictions for 2010. All the 2012ers are going to be clamoring. We're getting closer and closer. But the real information that needs to come out is prophetic revelation that the Spirit of God has given. He has never missed, 100% accurate, never failed, every prophecy, and it's massive by the hundreds and hundreds of prophecies, giving details about the end of days, giving a heads up on the what and the why of radical evil, of the what and the why of the subterfuge, seduction, and yet the spiritual force behind globalism. I'll say it again, there is no globalism without the spirit that is behind, operating in global supernatural power. Take a read of Ephesians chapter 2 about the prince of the power of the Eros, the immediate atmosphere around the globe, that global brain that some are talking about. Now, I'm telling you right now, there are those that are in science and theoretical physicists and those researchers of a living conscious universe. They're all saying there's something out there. Lynn Taggart wrote a book on, it's called The Field, about the energy that is out there in the dense atmosphere around the Earth. Well, they're correct about what's there. There's something there. The issue is, what is it? What is it? I've got to ask you a question tonight before we go into the body of the message. If you could, how can you capture God? If you could, how can you capture God? Now, I'm going to seek to answer some of this in the body of the message. And I am going to touch on this subject. I think that we just heard the phones maybe go out. I'm not sure. I've got a problem here, but maybe you're still hearing me. We've had the lights and all the power in this region go out 5 times today already, so I hope that we're not going to have that happen again. So hang on with me tonight, because I hear something beeping in my phone. Again, don't forget that we're doing archives of the show. They're both on Steve Quayle's site and on our site. And don't forget also on Friday nights at 7 p.m., the best of Steve Quayle. Now, I've got an email that came in, and this is a very interesting question. Listen to this one comes in. It says, I've been reading Russ Izdar's the book, The Black Awakening, and noticed last week on the TV show CSI Miami, the episode plot involved a murder and a man who had amnesia. Now, last night on the TV show Castle, a murder occurs and a man is found to have amnesia. The glaring resemblance to these shows was, just as I've read, that satanic multiples who hide the assassins down below, while the unknowing upfront person doesn't truthfully know what happened. Now, he asked the question, is this going to happen more frequently? Are these shows giving a heads up to everyone what is going to happen? And then Jason says, thank you for all your efforts. May Jesus protect you. Jason, thank you for the kind email and thank you for the question. Appreciate you reading the book. The book is a message. Listen, I'm not a great writer, but it is a message. I'm a preacher. I speak. And it is a message based on 20-some years of the dealing with the underground, dealing with biblical prophecy. And I'll say it again, there are hundreds of thousands of sleeper assassins, multiples, with programming. Call it Monarch, call it MKUltra. Those are 50-year-old, 60-year-old projects. It's much newer nowadays. Some say there's up to 4 million diagnosed cases. One psychiatrist in his book on the CIA doctors says there may be up to 10 million. But there is a plot afoot. We have engaged in thousands of hours over 20-some years. Those who've had their personalities purposely split, sub-personalities programmed, trained, energized by dark powers, extremely capable, supernaturally stronger, faster and empowered, but they do. On the inside, they have assassins, those who do recon. And I can almost guarantee you there are some of those listening right now. Or there are some of those who have done the, well, they're the perpetrators. They're the ones that have done the splitting, the programming. So let me tell you right now that on all of our shows, in the couple of years now that we've been on, we've had, they call themselves chosen ones or satanic warrior monks or BWBs, Babylon working babies. There's other names, but there is a, well, I don't know about your area, but I would assume that in every psych ward in America since the late 70s, early, well, 80s, 90s especially, I would say from the 90s on, probably every psych ward has a multiple or two or three or four. Thousands upon thousands and thousands have sought help. And we've dealt with a number of those, and they have sub-personalities. We've met and engaged assassins, ritual workers, those who can conjure demons, speak ancient languages, those that recon, infiltrate churches, infiltrate government, infiltrate law enforcement, infiltrate military. And I'm going to tell you right now, as the book tells you, there's massive infiltration into U.S. government, military, law enforcement, infrastructure, churches. There are hundreds of thousands of sleeper chosen ones. Those who have empowered, trained, programmed subpersonalities that the upfront person is amnesic about. They're waiting, my friends. They're waiting for the call. Think about it for a moment. The Antichrist comes to power. No one politically comes to power without the enforcement. Not Hitler, not Mussolini. Listen, anywhere in the world, Stalin, you must have the military force. You must have the soldiers. And I'm telling you right now that these folks we have discovered and they have confessed, they are the troops of the coming Antichrist. They believe in the rise of a Superman, a super global system, and a supernaturally empowered military system. And they prepare, even now, for Armageddon. Now, we spell that out in 660 pages. We offered dozens of hours of MP3 training sessions that go along with the book. It's a lot of material. But I want you to know, to me, the book of 660-some pages is like an outline. It's like I've outlined what we do know. So there's more to come. Anybody that gets the book, The Black Awakening, you'll be told that starting this month, we're going to add, this is like an active, interactive book. We're going to add chapters, PDF files of new chapters, subchapters to this book starting this month for the next 8 months. So anybody buying the book, go to theblackawakening.com, www.theblackawakening.com, and begin to look for special MP3s, but also the extra chapters and information we're going to put in. Now, thank you, Jason, for writing in. And yes, I'm watching, too, the movie, the show Dollhouse, the other one, The Pretender. There's a number of shows that have demonstrated this. There's a DVD somebody sent me called Serenity. You'll see this in some of the super soldier movies, but yes, you'll see some in other movies, crime movies, where a sub-personality kills. Matter of fact, I want to mention Dave McGowan. I don't know him personally. He doesn't know me, but he's the first person that has written about serial murderers, serial rapists who are multiples, whose sub-personalities do the killing. And the upfront person doesn't know, can't control it. Now, we've been in, and we are right now in cult crime cases that are just like that. Subpersonalities did the ritual, did the killing, did the ancient stuff, received the dark powers on the inside. And we have two girls in this area, 17 and 14, been dead now a long time, richly murdered. We've engaged the individual. We even engaged the subpersonality that did the murders, the ritual, gruesome murders. I write about that in the book. Anyway, that's the answer, Jason. Yes, there's more and more coming up, more and more information. I think there's been a lot of those who have been captured and programmed and raised in a transgenerational bloodline Luciferian. I don't know if you know what all that means, but this is an ancient project. This is a supernatural project. I will tell you again, there is no Antichrist. There is no counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles. There is no globalism without the supernatural, real supernatural powers behind it. And again, God gives the heads up, and I pray that if you are listening right now, Luciferians and Satanists, chosen ones, those who are perpetrators, those who have sent emails to acknowledge that you're reconning every single newsletter I put out, every single thing on the website that I put out, and every single message, every MP3, every live show, every archive. It's amazing. You guys listen to. Maybe in the good providence of God, the good arrangement of God, the Spirit of God's going to break through to some of you. In the invitation to get out of the darkness and come to the living Christ, a power and a grace and a might that you have never even scratched the surface of, well, is waiting. And even right now, in the midst of this providential, well, not only the hour, but even in the sentences that are spoken, sometimes arranged by God. Back to the subject tonight, we're talking about science. Can it capture God? Can science capture God, put God under a microscope? And we need to ask some questions about this, okay? Now listen, an email that you can write to during the show, shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. And if it's during the live show, we try to answer it right on the show. But let me mention again, and I've asked you the question earlier, if you could, how would you capture God? When I was a child, and I had a little brother, my bigger brother and I, when Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom would come on, we would play capture. We would grab the blanket on the couch, and we would pull it all out, and we would chase my little brother and throw the blanket over him in like a net and capture him, just like what we saw on Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. And, of course, at first it's fun that my little brother were holding him under that blanket too long, and he's crying. We got in trouble. You know how it is with kids. But we played capture. I guarantee you there are scientists. There are those who would love to capture God. Listen, I think there's a lot of good scientists. But let's not forget that it is within the nature and belief system of a man or a woman, even though they might be a great and capable scientist, that determines what they would do, what they are doing. The Nazi doctors, the Nazi scientists, those who went after Aryan blood, Nephilim blood, those who wanted to create a master race, those who mixed, quote, science, technology with, spirit and spirits. Now, in an occult prophecy, a demonic occult prophecy back in 1933, demonic entity, an ascended master, as they would call it, did give prediction under their tutelage, scientists would be guided to breach the gap between science, technology, and spirit, and eventually break through the veil and join the two. Now, I don't recommend you read Alice Bailey's book, The Externalization of the Hierarchy. I'm telling you because there is a presence with the book. Just like reading the Bible, there, and every Satanist and underground or any demonized person knows that the Bible has a presence with it. God the Holy Spirit. That it's living words. The Spirit of God inspired. Well, there are other writings out there that have counterfeit inspiration. Real, Spirit-given inspiration from the other side. And they're speaking an agenda. They give counterfeit idea, counterfeit beliefs, counterfeit instruction, and counterfeit prophetic agenda. Now, I've read a lot of that stuff. I've had to pray over it. You know, do the spiritual warfare stuff that all of us should know as believers. But read, literally read, Didache of Daemonia. The doctrines of demons. And they're out there by the thousands of books, some more serious than others. But they're laying out their plan. They're active. And if you don't understand not only their presence, their nature, but their sequential agenda. You know, they've got a sequential agenda. And according to Revelation 12, they're furious. They're working hard. They know their time is short. Well, anyway, if you could, would you capture God? And I think there might be scientists who think they might have done that. I think when it comes down to the God particle that they're talking about, there might be some that think that they have gotten to the God particle or the God presence or the being of God or the substance of God. Maybe somehow, some way, through the technology of man, they have sliced a piece of God and are able to study it. Now, I completely and wholly disagree that they've been able to draw God or slice a piece of God or sedate God and put him under the microscope, whatever the microscope may be. Now, I say that in advance, but I want you to, let's engage this a little bit. You know, again, when science would love to slice God, examine God, study God, as if God were a monkey, a frog. Now you realize how many sci-fi movies are out there, how many stories, and I've been to Roswell twice. Matter of fact, I just got an email from a good friend down there, Joe Jordan and Guy Malone and Nicole Malone, listen, we'll be responding to them today. Love being down Roswell. I love that little area. A lot of need for spiritual, massive spiritual, biblical awakening. But I want you to know right now that the first time I was there, I listened to, the famed astronaut, Edgar Mitchell. And I noticed that in his speech to the people about remote viewing and higher consciousness and spiritual evolution, that there is, again, the concept in his mind of connecting science to spirit. I believe there's an attempt to do so. I believe that there is a spiritual force guiding and trying to introject into science. Now, maybe I'll do this in the future. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of scientists on the books that have gotten their ideas in the middle of sleep, where ideas have popped into their head, or they got it from a dream, or they got it from meditating and something voiced a skull. Something came in and gave them an idea. I'm going to tell you right now that when people talk about alien technology, I believe that from the other side, there is an attempt to communicate ideas, help military scientists and others grasp new technologies to build new weapons. And I'll give you one example. Anybody and everybody looking at planetary defense weapons systems, I believe You are seeing the inspiration, the pursuit, and even the ideas are being guided supernaturally for a future use. Okay, just write this down. We'll talk about this in an entire week sometime coming up. Planetary defense weapons systems. People from the DOD and NASA and other scientists are working on them as we speak. Working on them, well, even putting out a book and materials out on it. Looking for the kind of weaponry that can be pointed into space to annihilate any space threat. Anything that would open up in space and begin to descend down upon the earth, it is already in the working for mankind in the coming globalist super military to have super weapons, to blast into space anything coming down. You ever read Revelation chapter 19? You ever read 1 Thessalonians 4? You ever read about the descent, the return of the visible Christ as a door dimensionally? It opens and there is descent, a descent of the living Christ in the second coming. If you read Revelation 19:19, you know what it's all about. Third and final attempt to kill God. To kill God. Now, the stories in Roswell were they found aliens. You've seen some of the YouTube videos or movies. There are those that believe it without question. That they had them and that they dissected them. They cut them open to see what was in there. That's part of what science does. Seen some of the old movies where some of the crude, back then they were cutting edge instruments, surgical tools that are now crude and old and sitting in museums. Someday, possibly, the technology today that is used in surgery, cutting people open, getting into everything, will also be for the museum when mankind even gets more advanced. Now, it's one thing to open up a human, to fix a heart valve, to, wow, even today, replace a man or a woman's heart, get a tumor out of the brain, get cancer out of the stomach, whatever it may be. I had surgery on my shoulder about, 39 years ago. I've got two metal pins in my shoulder holding a tendon into the bone. Back then they used stitches. Not the clamps, but stitches. So I've got a 7-inch long scar in my right upper shoulder where you can see the dot of the stitches after they took them out. It looks like a centipede that's stayed there too long. Anyway, I want to ask the question again. Can scientists capture God? And I am going to say to you that I don't believe they can capture God. I believe even when it comes down, as we'll see, when we talk about the God particle, they can capture creation in many different ways. Capture DNA, capture the human genome, capture molecules. I mean, study atoms. I mean, dealing with the breaking down of the atom even, and then looking at these particles. Did they capture God, or did they capture bits, slices of creation? I'll say it again. I don't believe you can capture God. Cut a piece off, put it under a microscope. Three things. What technology can do it? We'll touch on that. How would you examine a piece of God? And the third question, would you, if you could get a hold, and I don't believe there's any blood of Christ physically around anywhere. But you're dealing with the incarnation, the genetics of God. We're going to talk about that this coming Sunday night on a live show. The genetics of God and the incarnation, where you have God in the mix of humanity. You've got God in human flesh. You've got fully God, fully man. But we're talking genetics, DNA, the entire aspect of Christ, the incarnation. Absolutely amazing. The praise of the angels of God, the fear of the demons of hell, the amazement, well, of three wise men that came and offered gifts to Christ the King. Anybody out there paying homage and worship to Christ the King? Do you really know who he is? Don't reduce him to a ufology Jesus. Don't reduce him to a Masonic fake Jesus or a New Age fake psychic little ascended master Jesus. We're talking about God in human flesh, the real Christ, who is alive this moment as we speak. He may be speaking to you right now because he pursues those who don't know him yet. He indwells those who do. If you're a believer in Christ, you are a temple of the Spirit of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Wow. You're in relationship. Don't forget to spend daily time in prayer. Don't forget to worship. Don't forget to walk in the personal power, presence, and joy of this great salvation. If you could put God under a microscope, what technology could do that? If God is absolutely, totally infinite, immeasurable, I mean, what's the instrument that could measure God? What human instrument long enough, strong enough, able enough? Do we have human technology that can peer into the being of God? If so, how far? If you understand that being infinite means if you step into God, you can't come out the other side. And I'm not talking about like a forest where somebody gets lost. There's an end somewhere to that forest. There is no end, depth, height, width, length. You can't measure God. One of the attributes, immeasurable. One of the attributes, infinity, infinite. So again, I'm going to say, what technology? I think that it's a neat thing in the area of science and technology, peering and looking, trying to discover. And I think that one thing that is true about scientists, even those that are working on the God particle and writing about the God particle, I've got a few books on it, got a few bits of information, just ordered a few more. I'm going to talk to individuals that worked at CERN. We're going to discuss the God particle. I might even have him come on the show on Sunday. Well, a week from this coming Sunday, we're going to begin, I think it is, or the end in the week. I forget which now. We're going to have a two-hour interaction on the God particle. But I think that this is something that we can engage discussion with globally renowned scientists. Renowned by mankind, renowned by their peers, in comparison to the infinite omniscience of God, please understand, we are all in comparison to the omniscience, the all-knowing, all-knowledge, all-wisdom, everything of God. There's a vast, vast difference. That's why we can read, and you can check it out if you want to. In the book of 1 Corinthians, if you read chapters 2 and 3, it will mention, well, can man's greatest wisdom, his greatest intellect, his greatest abilities alone reach God? And I'm going to ask you that question. Is there anybody out there that has such wisdom, such knowledge, such ability, just by the sequence of your thinking, can penetrate the being of God? Is there, well, let me just read you something. Here comes again the word of God. I think it is amazing. It says this, chapter 2, 1 Corinthians, verse 9. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. It isn't even by the conjuring of the human brain that we perceive anything that God has prepared for the future. The word of God that reveals the future isn't about somebody's personal religious perspectives, you know, reaching from finite man into the heavens. We're dealing with, and you're going to see in that same chapter, the infinite God, the Holy Spirit, has revealed to finite man not only the being of God, but the event of salvation and relationship to God, but also the future things. And I'm going to tell you again, for all those interested in the future, God is accurate. God has been massive in his communication. God is detailed. He not only says what he's going to do in the world, but he's telling us what the other side is doing. He's giving us vision, glimpses of actual future human history on a global scale. He even gives us a picture of the last day of human history in a fallen world. Revelation 19. Take a look what happens there. It's the last day of human history until God breaks in and visits the earth visibly. I want to tell you something. The Prince of Peace is coming. Indestructible immortality is offered right now and will be a reality then. Oh, the science of that ultimate glorification. 1 Corinthians 15, even the Greek word atomic is used. In the twinkling of an eye, a flash, an atomic, on an atomic level, the exertion of the power of God in the resurrection of all those who have believed in Christ. The instantaneous glorification, the mortal will put on indestructible immortality, eyes that can see God face to face. Because of an old rugged cross, where a Savior died to break the barrier, yes, Mr. Scientist, Mr. Philosopher, Mrs. Technician, of your sin. Look at the cross. Look at the cross again and again and again. It's the physics of God. It's the technology of God. It's the miracle of God. You know what a miracle is? It's the physics of God. You want to see the physics of eternal life? You can read about it in 1 Corinthians 15, when by the exertion of God's power on an atomic level, glorified bodies from mortal to immortality. This is so beyond the drudgery of reincarnation's dream. This is about eternal life. This is about living forever. This is about something that science cannot do. Science cannot resurrect a 4 year or 4 day old dead body. Lazarus, come forth. I am the resurrection and the life. Any man believe in me, though he die, yet shall he live. No one can say those words except God in human flesh, Christ, who himself died, was buried. And as Psalm 16, a prophecy 1,000 years in advance, said, the Holy One, Emmanuel, Christ, would not see decay. He would not remain in a tomb. The resurrection was proclaimed 1,000 years in advance. And what Jesus did at the cross, what occurred at the shedding of his blood, sinless blood, listen, for the Luciferians and the Nephilim blood seekers, do you understand the blood of Christ, the only true pure blood, the blood of God? That's what can heal you. That's what can deliver you from the dark side and bring you into the love of God through Christ. Listen, what technology could be used to bring God under its microscope? What tools can be built that could examine God? Everything we have, now this is something that you need to think through, but everything we have, I don't care if it's a, you know, whatever technology, whatever microscope, telescope, whatever tool we have, I'm going to tell you right now, no matter how vast, how many millions of dollars it took to build it, even if there was spirit-given inspiration into advanced technology, it could not, cannot reveal, penetrate, see into, or capture God. If they get God down on a table and slice God, would God have particles, DNA? I'm not talking about God in Christ when he was here in human flesh. There's a reason for that. I challenge each and every one of you to read Hebrews chapter 2 to see the reason why God came into human flesh for your benefit. But I want you to know right now that even though by man's technology, man's science, there is no way, even when we get to the discussion of the God particle, well, to pull God under the microscope, to slice God and examine. You can't capture God by human means. God, the infinite one, has opened a door. God has made a way in which you can come to know God and examine the revelation of God and be in the presence of God and know that you know that you know God. Jesus said, whosoever calls, even in John's Gospel chapter 7, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of their inmost being. Well, listen, the presence of God. Right now, call on Christ. Ask the living Savior to come into your life. Be born again of God. Read the Gospel of John. Listen, this is Russ Dizdar. ShatterTheDarkness.net. We're going to see you Friday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Good night, my friends.